Good morning, Patriots. So we are on Saturday. We have now completed a full week since Bard's Fest. And just kind of still letting a lot of that percolate. I'll tell you, that was an event that is going to take some time to fully absorb the magnitude of all that went on. And it's a wonderful experience. And it just keeps revealing the depth and the great things that we accomplished. Really was something. We have our online traffic was something like 2 million on primary streams, and secondary streams possibly up as high as 8 million, which is just amazing. So we really had a huge reach, and it's continuing to grow. I continue to, you know, find stories of people hearing it, watching it from start all over. We've got breakout pieces, people clipping out parts of the presentations and featuring just certain ones, which is awesome. There's some amazing pictures that are floating around out here if you haven't seen them. One thing I don't think a lot of people realize is we are gearing up to do a documentary from this. Duncan will be leading that effort, and so we'll let you know how that goes. I have to get with Duncan this next week. But we're going to make a documentary from Bard's Fest, and it will be something really memorable. We had some amazing drone pilots, too. They came in. There was a group of drone pilots, three of them. They came in, and all FAA certified. They flew their drones high above the whole space, including above the Ferris wheel. And from everything I've seen, their work was just absolutely stunning. And we just had a lot of just amazing photography going on. People taking great pictures and just an event that was very alive. And I hope that when we get the documentary done, that'll be reflected in terms of, you know, a we product, not just a specific product by it won't be just one camera person. That's the beauty. It'll be a lot of different people together. It'll make that so amazing. Before we get started this morning, MyPillow has got an amazing special going on right now on slippers. Our favorite slippers for the slipper revolution, which was on Friday the 27th, are now on sale for 50% off. You can get those. This is time to buy Christmas gifts is what this is. These are awesome, and they are amazingly comfortable. So you want to get on over to MyPillow.com, scroll on down to the radio listeners box on the front page and click on that, and there you'll find the 50% off on my slippers. You'll need your promo code, which is BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S. And it's just, they're so comfortable. I mean, I've kind of given testimony here the last couple of days. Friday the 27th, my feet were hurting so bad I could hardly walk. And so I put on a pair of my slippers, and it was like massages on your feet. They're just so amazingly comfortable. They're an indoor-outdoor slipper, and they have a suede, you know, suede outside. They've got this special patented foam that they have inside. They're just a great slipper. And I use them indoor and outdoor. So really a great product. 50% off. You can't beat it. And then while you're there, you can check out the sheets, which are absolutely amazing. I tell you, I look forward to getting back home because the sheets that I'm dealing with in these hotels drive me crazy. They're nothing like the MyPillow sheets, and nor are the pillows like MyPillow pillows. So I have pillows, sheets, comforter, towels. I've got the slippers, and I don't have a doggy bed, but I hear those are awesome too. So great products all the way around. Get on over to MyPillow.com. Use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, for great, great savings. And if you're really inclined or so inclined to talk to a human being, you can call 800-975-2939. 800-975-2939, and you can use your promo code BARDS there as well. Also, check out Expedition Coffee. Go to bardsfm.com. Check out the coffee link, and there's a big button on the front. You can't miss it. It says Expedition Coffee. Check out Expedition Coffee. It's a healthy-based coffee that was developed by one of the labs in conjunction with Dr. Eric Napudi. And it was a formula that was offered to me to be able to brand as something healthy, immune-boosting, powerful, great alternative to coffee. It is coffee, but it's got all sorts of great products in it. We had Expedition Coffee set up there at the Bard's event. It was fantastic. People loved it. They had tremendous amount of reviews on it, all positive. So head on over to Expedition Coffee or bardsfm.com and click on the coffee button. Either way, Expedition is X-P-E-D-I-T-I-O-N. XP, not EX, but XP. So check out Expedition Coffee. I think you'll love it. It's a great product. You can have it as a standalone coffee. You can mix it in with your smoothie. You can make a mocha out of it. You can mix it in with your coffee, whatever. It's a real booster. It helps enhance mental clarity, boosts some of your immune systems, and keeps your body strong, which is obviously very different than most coffee, which tends to strip away your minerals and nutrients that you need. So expeditioncoffee.com, X-P-E-D. The Rich Man and Lazarus. I'm going to read this morning. This happens to be one of, if there is one story in the Bible right now that to me is relevant on many levels, it's the Rich Man and Lazarus. And there's many stories that are relevant, don't get me wrong, but this one really strikes home because it deals with an idea of a bifurcated world where we can see each other, but we can't touch each other. And a lot of what we're, a lot of what we're dealing with right now in our world is this concept that we have two different worlds. We are not connecting it whatsoever. And the story at the core of the Rich Man and Lazarus is the idea of self-consumption versus faith in God. And we can see that happening right now. So let me read this and we'll discuss it a bit more. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man who died was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in anguish. And besides all of this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that they may be warned, so that he may warn them, lest also they come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." We're in such a time like this right now, where we literally have people so consumed with their life and what their way they're eating, doing, feeding, consuming, and take the list of things, that they can't see past anything other than the moment. And it's sad to see. We see this regularly. We see this within families. We see this within friends. We see a public that has just wantonly accepted the self-consumption world as part of the normal that they are now existing in. But our world was never intended that way. And I think this is one of the biggest awakenings for everybody at the end of the day, is to really shake us from this deep slumber, to realize that in the ancient ways, we were always living through God. We walk in the body of Christ, and that means everything. We are tied into the body of Christ. And as we walk this path, we are coming to a place each day that's closer and closer to God and farther away from the self-consumption and self-arrogance, this focus point of everything about me culture, and the me theology becomes less and less for us. Yet we are witnessing how the me theology becomes increasingly more for them. The me theology, or the theology of me, however you want to say it, this whole consumption and worship of myself above all things, is kind of at the core of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man cared not for Lazarus, could care less. All Lazarus wanted were just scraps on the table. And so he lavishly consumed everything he had, and as if there would be no cost or penalty for that. The cost and penalty was obviously Hades. And the difference, the thing that happens there is, I always find amazing, is in this story, it's the chasm that's divided between the two worlds. It's literally a bifurcated world. A world where Lazarus now can stand near Abraham and they can see each other. And the rich man can see Abraham, but there's no way that they can touch each other. Those two worlds are off limits. Increasingly, if we take a look at our world and pay attention to what's going on, this is exactly what's happening right now. If you really think about all of the threats and the saber rattling and the pressure to take the injection and so forth, what we're hearing and what we're seeing increasingly is that they are trying to pressure us to make a choice. But no one yet has forced anything. But the thing that is interesting is that our worlds, as long as we hold in faith, there's a lot of noise out there, but nothing's really touching our home. Everything that we're dealing with right now is about free will. So some of the choices aren't easy. So if you have a job and your employer is telling you that you're going to have to take the vax or the jab, it is not an issue of whether you have to, it's a choice. You have a choice of free will. They haven't tackled you when you go to work and injected you, but you have to make that choice. And those choices aren't necessarily easy. I would imagine that laying in front of a gate and having dogs lick your sores and ultimately dying wasn't exactly a preferred way of existing. But nonetheless, the dedication to faith and the commitment that we have in our walk is what defines ultimately the outcome of where we'll be. Our relationship with God has to be pure and true. And as we do that and we stand boldly with God, we're not going to be touched by so many of these things that they're threatening. Doesn't mean it won't be easy, or that it will be easy. The thing that we have to be aware of is that everything that we are dealing with, though, is choice and free will. So the things that we can probably expect as we roll forward with this, as they increase their desperation to try to eradicate a country and a culture. And that's one thing to keep in mind about all of this right now, is this group of people that's in power that is ultimately controlled by the CCP, they seek one thing: to completely eradicate and erase the United States of America from existence. And that is also one of the goals of the Chinese. That they seek great glory in wiping out the United States, completely annihilating it without firing a single shot. We have to make hard choices in this path, and we have to hold that line to understand that they are going to use pressure, and they are going to use intimidation, and they're going to use persuasion, and they're going to use the access to your job and possibly access to food as all tools and levers to try to force each person to bow. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people bowing. And it's a sad thing to witness, because they're giving in. And because wide gate and the easy path are always there. And people just don't have, most people don't have a strong backbone. And unfortunately, most people in this day and age are weak. They've grown up in a compliant, weak culture. They don't have the idea of having values that they stand for and stand on and will fight and defend. Everything in this world that we've grown up in our life has been about compromise. Everything has been about giving in. And nothing has been about standing strong on true beliefs that you have. That's not the world I grew up in, but it's the world that has happened all around us. And therefore, we have to look at this very carefully and ask ourselves, what is it that we truly believe and what are we willing to die for? My walk, your walk, I would assume are all the same in that sense, is that we're putting our life with Christ. And as we walk this path, we're walking that path not concerned about what happens to us in this world, because we're not in this world. We're not of this world. And God gave us everlasting life to do a job and to hold that line. But what, again, is interesting is if you really think about all of the threats and the intimidations that surround you, ask yourself literally, like, where is it that they have forced you to do something? And the answer is they haven't. All of this has been based on free will. And this is important, extremely important, because the whole principle of free will is that you're giving up your rights. You're giving up everything that God gave you to them to control. And this is the juncture that we're at right now. That when you take that injection, when you take the walk on the mask, when you take the compliance to their rules, their critical race theory, all of these things, the way they tell you to do things, their mandates for having children controlled by the state being able to tell you as a parent that your child is going to be forced transgender flipped. I mean, this sickness of this world that we're in right now is a full-blown Luciferian hell that we're witnessing. But we have a choice of whether we participate in it or not. If you continue to let your children go to school, public school, then you're going to pay a cost. You've made a choice to participate with their system. And if you think that's your child is going to be immune from the problems, then you're living a fool's game. We as parents and stewards of our children have a responsibility to do everything we must to protect them as God would intend. And there isn't a point where you can turn to God and go, okay, God, please help me fix this for me. God will work through us. But just like with Lazarus, God didn't swoop down and suddenly give Lazarus a big bath and give him new clothes and stand him up strong and healed. Lazarus had to go through his life. And when he did, he ended up dying, but he then ascended to something greater because he had given his dedication as that walk was demanded of him in his path in life. Everything out here right now that is happening is at a distance from us if we're holding strong in faith. There is nothing that has come inside our house or inside our lives unless we have accepted it. So if you've accepted the vax, that's a choice. No one mandated it on you. If you have taken the vax to save your job, that is a choice. No one has forced you to do that. And though you may not like the decisions, the fact of the matter is that you chose that. This is a level of accountability that most people are not accustomed to living with, because we have lived in a world where too many things can be excused off. We can also always find something to point the finger at, to blame, to deflect, to give an excuse for. But we have to understand that our actions, we are accountable for on all levels. So the real issue here is why people are so concerned and afraid of this vax and everything else. Because ultimately, though the pressure keeps coming in, nobody has tackled you yet. Nobody has kicked in your door and forced your family down on the floor and injected you. If we get that far, okay, then that's another story. Literally, that's straight up war. But we are not there because they know that that isn't going to work. What they know instead is that they can pressure. So here's an example of something I read the other day. Now, this is a report, so I can't confirm this at 100%, but it was interesting in the most recent hurricane that a group of people, there's been a number of these reports come out where people have circumvented the checkpoints and they have run into FEMA, and FEMA has told them that they can't pass unless they get injected. This wouldn't surprise me at all because FEMA had CDC people there with them. So again, asking ourselves the question, what's the big deal about this injection? Why are they trying to get everybody injected? But they're not forcing it on us. They're giving us the choice just like that. You can pass through and you can get the injection, or you can go back to where you were from. So much of this injection has such a deeper and darker agenda. And it gets to the core of ultimately seeking to eradicate a culture. They used the pandemic, the flu, which was a pretty bold flu, but they used that as a way to get people panicked and then to convince people that the only way to save yourself was an injection, which was the real weapon. And in getting people to drop their guard and to accept that the only way forward was for these people to provide them with a solution through pharmaceutical as the salvation for their fears, the salvation for their soul, everything. They literally turned, people have turned to the needle to save themselves. But again, it's always a choice. Nobody forced it. And that's going to be a hard one for many people to embrace. Just like with the rich man, he wants Lazarus to come down and give him water. Abraham says no. And then he pleads with Abraham to have his family warned. Abraham says no again. There are consequences to living a way of life. And when people are out here and they've turned their ears away from God and they've turned their eyes away from God and they want to walk in that selfish and self-consumed theology of me, there's going to be a cost for that in the end. A society as we know it, especially as a society as we were designed, cannot exist in a world where everybody's consumed with me. It just can't be. And that, unfortunately, is where we are right now. And we are witnessing the destruction of what we thought was the republic. It's more just a corporate state. But we're watching the destruction of everything that we know in our society because so much of it has fallen to ruin through this philosophy of me. Our society, our culture, our country was never birthed on a principle of me. It was birthed on the principle of in God we trust. And we put God on the throne above us all so that we were accountable to God and government was accountable to us. Government was subordinate to us, which is very important. So here we are in a time when it's seeming like the whole world is falling apart. If you read the headlines, it's nothing but incredible chaos. And yet, if you look around in your local communities, and we focus just on the local communities, and we focus on our homes and what's going on in our homes, unless you have invited in the problem, there really aren't any problems to deal with because that strength and faith that we walk, that path that we walk, is a separate world from the world that they're walking. And I really mean this when I say this. This is very much like this Lazarus model. I mean, if you look at this and you realize just how separate we are and how different we are now, there are literally two worlds. And the more that we stand strong with God and anchor deeper in our faith, the more that we separate from the world in which they want us to be part of. That's our strength. And it's one of the greatest parts of this fight is that understanding truly what the threat is to each one of us. They can start shutting access to food. They could start doing a whole variety of things. They can start shutting access to gasoline, whatever. But somewhere along the way, not everything is going to work the way they intend it. We're already seeing that. Their control gets broken and fractured all the time. Yesterday, there was a video put out by a Oregon State Police officer who basically just made it clear that he's taking the risk of his job and he's not going to stand with a governor. that she's a tyrant. She has no business doing what she is, and she's lost her way, and he's going to take the oath of the blue and put and support the people. Of course, they suspended him. That's the tyrant organizations that we're dealing with here that aren't caring about the people. They're caring purely about obedience and tyranny. And the heroes that we start seeing up that are taking the stand are making a choice. His choice wasn't an easy one. He's going to probably lose his job. But nonetheless, it is a choice that he's making of whether to comply and to be part of tyranny or whether or not to be part of tyranny. This is the difficult phase that we're in because all of these pieces have to be separated. We have to shift the field. We have to clear the field so that you have nobody in the middle. And that's a moving target right at the moment because even some of the people that are taking the vax are starting to wake up saying, okay, what did I do? But stating that, like, what did I do versus coming to the realization that you were part of the problem, humbling yourself before God and asking for repentance, those are other big steps. In this path forward, every one of us is going to be pressured in different ways to comply. And there's going to be increasing desire to get everybody injected. However many are left, I have no idea, that aren't injected, but it's an increasingly small number of people that have not taken the injection and that will hold out. And that's the remnant, ultimately, that's going to be responsible for rebuilding this nation because so many that are out here taking the jab are shortening their life and ensuring that they're going to be dead or gone within 3 to 5 years. This entire process was engineered perfectly to destroy a culture by its own free will. And that is ultimately one of the greatest successes of this dark evil that's come in here, is it's preyed upon people's fears. And when people are in fear, they're not logical. And people also just don't feel that they have any accountability for what they do. If there's one lesson that we have to take from this, it's the understanding that we are all accountable for all the actions that we make, that there is no exception. That the choices that you make, you have to now stand before God at one point or another to explain your choice and to hold testimony to why that you did such a thing. Taking the jab was not a small thing. And while we can talk about people being deceived and we can talk about people not having full facts and making choices and for different reasons, ultimately, most of the people that took the injection took it for several common reasons. One was fear, which is not the reason to take anything, especially a experimental jab. The other was convenience, that they wanted to return to their old lifestyle, and it didn't matter what it was. They were going to take it so they could fly somewhere. They were going to take it so they could go to a restaurant again with friends. It's all the me stuff again. Nowhere in there did you hear these discussions other than with those that are choosing not to take it. But nowhere in that movement did you say, okay, well, I reflected, I prayed to God, and God showed me that I can take it. We haven't heard that, and we won't hear that. Unless you're dealing with somebody like Franklin Graham's church, I'm sure he'll come up with some stupid story. You know, especially since he tried to suggest that Christ would take the injection, which is complete blasphemy. But we are truly in a time of accountability. And the story of the rich man and Lazarus really shows us how accountability works. That during this life, we tend to think that this life is all that we have. And even though we say we don't, if you think about a lot of our own processes, and I think at one point or another, we've all tripped onto this. We get consumed with what we want, what we're seeking, what we desire. And we really don't take time to reflect and ask the simple question, what does God desire of us? That's the material world that consumes us when we're always talking about what we need. I need this, I need that, I need this. And when we live that way, we're making contract and bond with Satan and his rules. So we are walking ourselves into a trap and we're walking ourselves away from God. And so in order for God to be able to intercede and in order for God to be able to work with us, we have to repent. That repenting is one of the most powerful aspects of our individual fight within our homes and within our lives, because it allows the courts of heaven to intercede, because they can't bless off on sin. Like it or not, and you know my feelings on this, I don't like to talk about sin as a repressive, heavy load where we're walking around all morose because we're all evil and bad. But as human beings, we are lured to way many, many ways. We're weak in that paths that we take. We're easily lured, and we're imperfect. But God knows that, and that was the whole sense of the sacrifice with Christ, was to forgive us all for our sins. But we have to embrace the body of Christ. We have to accept Christ within our lives. And we have to humble ourselves before God, and we have to repent. And in so doing, then we're restored. And we get that process going again, where we can now connect to God through Christ to the Father. Those frameworks right there, I mean, that way of living, which is, frankly, should be the only way of living, where we put Christ first on all things and through Christ to the Father. But when we live that way and we put all of that first, none of this other stuff affects us unless we let it get into our head. But this fight has continued to be one of pressuring, not one of mandating. And even when they mandate, it ends up still being this kind of goofy, like, well, you need to do this and whatever. I mean, we haven't seen the extremes that we've seen in other parts of the world. It doesn't mean it won't come, but it does mean that as we have it now, our faith is a center point to keeping us a separate world from where they are. Our solidity in our faith, our commitment to God, keeps us at a distance from who they are. And their world that they're wanting to build, which they're building very quickly, by the way, just pay attention to how fast they're moving. It is literally a living hell. And they can't see it yet, but they will. They will come to the realization at a certain point of how much they have lost. And it may not happen right away, but if they continue to go down this path, it will be a brutal awakening where they suddenly raise their head and realize that everything that they were is now gone. That's not going to be our path. Our path retains the preservation through Christ. Through the body of Christ, we continue to be strong as children of God in this walk. And we will. And we will hold that path, and we will hold that path of the remnant, and we will hold that light of God to continue to raise up the many as we can. Again, two worlds, though. Two worlds. And we're looking across the chasm. Only if you let it in does it come into your home, into your life. And those are all centered on choices of free will. And if we don't appreciate the power of free will in this, we've missed most of what this real fight is about, because ultimately, this is the spiritual war for our soul. And it's the soul of humanity. And we're choosing which path to take. You want to choose the easy gate, that easy path, the wide gate, the path to destruction, or do you want to choose the narrow gate, which is hard? But you have to be disciplined in it, and you have to endure the pressures. Lazarus didn't have an easy life, but he held the line. As much as it may seem like craziness because he was dying, he was steady and true to his beliefs. And his body died, and he raised to everlasting life. The rich man lavishly consumed everything. And in the end, ended up in Hades and realizing that there was no way out. And not only no way out, but there was no way back. That's, in my opinion, where we're headed. Is that we're headed into this world where once we, and we're almost there, frankly, because once you've taken that injection, there's a lot of things about not being able to get back. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know if there's going to be cures for that. I really don't know and don't care at this point, because the focus has to be about decisions and accountability. And when we get to that place of decisions and accountability, each one of us is accountable for the decisions we make. And the consequences that come from that are consequences we must live with. And we must do so in the face of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, this reflection that we have each day, to consider the many challenges that are sit before us. Lord, there are many things right now that are being pressured upon us, as you well know, to try to persuade us to give in. And Lord, I assume that when we think about this, it probably seems almost incredible to you that we would be so weak as to give in to these sorts of temptations. For those that have done so, we pray for their forgiveness, because they have walked away from you, and in so doing, they have meandered into a pit that they must find their way out, and they must do so through repentance. For ourselves, Lord, we ask for your continued strength, clarity, eyes to see, ears to hear, as we move forward, not only, Lord, to be strong in this time, but to find the wisdom to share with the others to help them have strength as well. Let us find that strength in healing, that strength through repentance, that strength in being honest in who we are in our hearts to you, Lord, to hide nothing, to accept openly the sins that we make, so that we can be released from the traps and contracts that are put out there by Satan, and open the doors and gates for the courts of heaven. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Lots to think about, and a lot of challenges ahead. This is a challenging time, and it's not necessarily going to get easier. I think we're all still wondering where this is going, every one of us. We don't really know. We know that the world that we know is over. The old world is done. I want to give you just a kind of a perspective as I close out today. I was driving around yesterday, and this is what struck me, is that when I drove past a cancer clinic, and I drove past a bank, and then I drove past a hospital, and I drove past just a number of businesses that were all part of this old cabal. I mean, cancer clinics they're part of this whole medical cabal to keep people unhealthy. Not about curing, but about perpetuating cancer so they can use sort of destructive tools on the body that God gave us. All of these systems that were big buildings, and this is what struck me, was just the millions of dollars in these institutions and how they're symbols of an old world. And yet here we are in a time when all of that now is being burned to the ground. Those aren't going to go away easily. And what the world looks like when it's all done, I have no idea. But nothing in the old world that we've known can continue if we're going to move forward with God. Everything that we have known is now being destroyed. And that's part of this process right now, and the reason that we have to hold the line so heavily within our faith and not waver, because you can't expect to have a new world centered on God and go back to the old ways that were centered on a Luciferian order. So all of these things are changing, and they're changing all at once. And this sort of deeply nested, integrated systems that they put into our lives, that we've accepted, that we've participated in, that we actually willfully engage in, all of these things are now starting to fall apart. So the first thing I would encourage everyone to do is to spend some time each day putting yourself before God and repenting in a very positive way. Put before you the choices that you've made. Ask God for forgiveness. Let him hear your heart. And then as we move forward with this, we have to be solid and strong in our faith, because so much of what we've accepted, and I mean everything, I don't care whether it's the car manufacturer or whether it's the Walmart or everything that you know, has been touched and corrupted by this Luciferian order. Everything. So if we are truly going to rebuild a new republic, and we're going to do so with God on the throne, this is completely starting over. And what that looks like, how that works, I don't know. But I can tell you this, it's not going to solve itself by us going back to what was. That includes every tech group, all the signs and symbologies that we talked about, symbolisms. They all have to be eradicated. All of this world that we have known and grown up with, that we've just unconsciously accepted and willfully participated in a Luciferian ritual, we have to repent for and allow God to intercede to correct this world and to guide us to a new path. That is at the core of this story for me of Lazarus, because we have to make the choice so that we can now stand on the side of God as they stand on the side of the me theology, which in Lazarus is Hades. And that chasm is very real. And as we stand boldly with God and trust in God, he will remake that. And how those two worlds end up working, I have no idea. But I do know this, is that right now as we see them, there is no reconciling that. God can reconcile it, but the worlds that we face are not reconcilable. They're two distinct worlds, me versus God. So stand strong with God. Take time each day to humble yourselves before God. Put before him the things that we've done, the admissions, the opening of your heart. Take time to do that. And with that, gain the strength and the glory that comes from allowing God to then be able to forgive and let the power of the body of Christ fulfill. And with that, the courts of heaven to intercede. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. Prayers are our absolute foundation of everything we do. And prayers guide us. Prayers open our heart to God. Prayers solidify that foundation relationship with God in a true and honest way. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God will win. And the most glorious part about that is God is working through us to do just that. So have a blessed day. I'll see you tonight for Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. And out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. What the night